more?
Sure. So I'm easy to find. So brandy is obviously a drink, an alcohol, and it's not a usual name to be stuck onto Scilacce, which is Italian. So I find that I am apparently the only brandy Scilacce out there. So if you type in my name, my last name Scillace, and you go hunting, you will find me. I'm a bit everywhere. My website's brandyscilacce.com. And I run a number of book clubs, and my other work is out there and easy to get to. I hope you guys enjoy reading the book. It doesn't read like a dry science. It reads a little bit like maybe a spy novel, but it's 100% accurate. It's true. This all of this really happened, and that's what makes it so mind-blowing.
Yes, it does. Thank you again for being a guest on the show today. I really do appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening to Times Like Now. This episode was brought to you by the letter C for caffeine, America's favorite drug. Also brought to you by the number 38, which is this episode of the show. Thank you to the letter J, Cody Robertson, for original music. Past episodes can be heard wherever you get your audio programs. I'm Trevor Collins, and I can be reached at trevor@timeslikenow.com. I look forward to speaking with you all next time. Good night.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Had him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
This is Art Focus, and I am Aurora Josephson, presenting the seventh in a series of studio visits with artists during the pandemic. My guest today is Renee Zangara. Renee grew up in the Bay Area of California in the 1950s and 1960s. She took classes in art at San Jose State University and eventually earned her Bachelor's of Fine Art from Merrillhurst University after moving to the Pacific Northwest in 1992. Zangara works on canvas, board, and paper using oils, acrylics, and watercolors. She also makes monoprints on her press in her home studio. Zangara currently exhibits her work at Nine Gallery in Portland. You may also see her work at the Portland International Airport in the form of paintings of all 50 U.S. state flowers. You may find photographs of Renee Zangara's studio, her collection of rubber gloves used during the pandemic, along with some current paintings in progress on my website, aurorajosephson.com. There you will also find Renee's top 5 favorite videos currently available for streaming online. We are live in the studio with Renee Zangara. This is the pandemic series. We are continuing it after an interim because we have the new mask mandate. So I've come back in the studio, and I'm here with Renee, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I wanted to ask my first question for you, and I have the same questions for everyone. What are you up to now in the studio?
Well, first of all, Aurora, I'd like to thank you for making your way out here. It's really fun to sit and talk with you.
Yay!
I am working on a series of paintings inspired by an animal spirit card deck that was given to me. My intention is to create 50 paintings, each featuring a particular animal.
Wow. So, 50 altogether?
Yes, 50.
Wow, 50. Okay, I want to make sure I heard that right. Now that's pretty exciting. So I see them all. They're about, what are they, 6 by 6 inches?
About 5 by 9.
5 by 9. Okay,
like
I was totally
that.
Wrong.
Yeah.
5 by 9 inches. And the material that they're painted on is
wood.
It's wood. Okay.
The wood panel.
So you adjust to the wood panel and then
it's
go
primed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did you come up with the animals?
Which animals that I chose to work with?
Yeah.
Well, after I got my first animal deck, I bought a few more. And then I started going through all the decks. And
are animal decks? Excuse me.
What are animal decks or animal spirits?
No, animal decks.
Animal decks is a deck of cards that has a unique animal on each card. That's what an animal deck is. And I have a few of them, and I went through each packet of cards to see what animals might be the same in each deck, which were really unique to a particular deck, and each deck had a different amount of animal cards. So it's kind of up to the creator of the cards on what they choose as their animals for their particular deck.
Oh, very cool. What are they used for exactly? So they're a deck of cards of animals, and what tradition are they used?
Well, animal spirits are a concept associated with various cultures around the world. And then the unique characteristics inherent in the individual animals informs the message that the animal is to impart on the person reading the card.
Oh,
so I hope I was, made sense when I said that.
So each card has a spirit associated with it that the animal is imbued with. Is that kind of?
Yeah, so an example would be like the octopus. So an octopus is an extremely adaptable animal. And so if you were to pick this card out of the deck, maybe it has a meaning to you as something like open up, adapt.
It's like a tarot, but for animals.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Or an I Ching. It's an oracle for using animals. And different cultures around the world associate different meanings to the animals and also different people that create cards might have a different way of imparting the message.
Oh, that's fascinating. And so is there a book about this that you were studying, or you just were collecting them on your own?
There are several books, probably more than several books. I have a few books.
Okay.
And you can find out anything you want on the internet about animal spirits. I just think it's fun. I got the deck of cards, my first deck, right probably about a year before COVID. So during COVID, I started playing with the cards and was really fascinated by how the characteristics of the animal sort of informed the reading of the animal. And I thought, it'd be kind of fun to do my own set of cards. And what kind of animals would I use? And then it didn't become just about painting anymore. I had to study these animals a little bit. I'm not an expert, I'm just having fun. And if I'm having fun, then I know I'm doing the right thing. I don't know what I'm gonna do with these yet, but I'm having fun with them.
And this ties into what we've talked to about before, about having, when you're working on something, that it's you're basically like with the airport project that you had. You started it in the same way.
Absolutely.
And it ended up at the airport.
And it was 50 paintings.
And it was 50 paintings. Oh, wow. So is it?
It must be
that's
about 50.
Luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very lucky.
Approximately going on, and we can talk about that if you'd like.
I think that's a great idea.
There's things going on in my head, but I have to wait. I have to let it reveal itself to me. Right now, it's create the animal, be with the animal, make sure the characteristics of the animal are evident in the card or in the panel that I'm painting.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we warm up with a discussion of your side project? So you mentioned that you have a project, and then part of your process is that you will take a break and make a large scale canvas. So we've got the cards project, and then next to it we have this gorgeous 5x7.
It's about 5x7. I don't know the exact measurement.
5x7 feet. So it's quite muscular, in my opinion.
Nice word.
And it is in shades of yellows, pinks, greens, mostly, I would say.
Reds. Little reds.
Yeah, the red flowers. And it's a landscape.
It's a semi-abstract landscape.
Okay.
Inspired by the landscape that surrounds my studio.
And in it, we see a boat docked. It could be anywhere. And we see flowers. We see a little bit of the green hills now, I see. Yeah. And there's shapes of the hills that kind of draw you out to the corner of the canvas. Is that what I'm seeing?
You're seeing some of that. So if you were able to spend a little bit of time with this painting and just look at it, you would start seeing all the swans that are in the painting. And there's a barge. There's a duck. Mount Hood is in the painting.
Oh, yes. Wow. And then a miniature tree, it looks like, over there.
That is a miniature tree over there in the distance. Because a tree looks miniature in the distance.
It's perfect.
So I'm playing with different perspectives. As you can see, some of the swans are as big as the boat.
Yeah.
And
the swan's head wraps around almost in the very center. It's like off to the right of the center of the canvas.
You see it.
And then the little boat that I saw at the very beginning, that was like the entry point into the canvas. And your eye is led around to the flowers, to the...
And then you have a large barge.
And there's the barge.
Pushing through.
There it's pushing through. I see it now. Oh my goodness, the perspective is magnificent on the barge. It's coming right at you. Oh yeah. And a little kind of tiger shape, in the bushes coming out. Maybe hunting the swan, I don't know. And then, it looks like one of your dogs, maybe. Is that Gucci or is it...
Santa Gucci could be.
Sneaking around in the bushes, right in the flowers. And what type of flowers would you say? Are they like an abstraction of flower? Or
they're closer to an iris.
Close to an iris. I see that now. Yeah, it opens up with the petals coming out, this beautiful cad red.
So there's a lot of animals in here, but they're not obvious right off the bat, just like a lot of my other paintings.
There's stuff that I feel like, oh my gosh, and now I see there's a little creature there. There's like creatures that just pop out at you. It's incredible.
Just like in real life, they're out there, but you don't really know they're there. And then you're walking along and something scurries across your path, or something runs across the window in the studio, or it's
like out of the corner of your eye, kind of. And then, wait, what was that? Did I see that?
Yeah.
It's magical. It's like the idea of it. Like
walking up the road and seeing rabbits kind of dart around, like they were just minding their own business, doing their own thing, and then all of a sudden you showed up and they were like, quick, hide.
Jump out of the way.
But they're all out there. There's all this energy and life out there that you don't see right off the bat all the time.
Mm.
Or you just don't see it till they decide it's time for you to see them.
Absolutely. All right, which brings us to our next question. What is it that inspires you to make art now during the time of COVID?
One of the things that happened during COVID for me is sort of an awakening to YouTube and streaming services. Before COVID, I didn't really spend much time on YouTube or watch a lot of documentaries or shows on Netflix. Now I have them all, Netflix, Prime, you name it. But what I've found on these services are wonderful interviews with all kinds of people, visual artists, musicians, artisans, athletes, chefs, you name it, they're out there. And the ones that have this overflowing, bubbling enthusiasm. They inspire me to delve deeper into my work. Mm-hmm. And that's an inspiration for me. It doesn't have to be painting. It doesn't have to be animals or landscape. It's more of an energy that I sense from people that love what they're doing, and they want to know about the craft or the medium or the genre that they're in. They're just excited about it. And when I see those kind of documentaries, I love what I do even more. So I think during COVID, that kind of woke me up to these shows, or these, I don't know how to say this. It opened up these venues to me that I knew were there, but I didn't spend time with them. Now I could go down the rabbit hole, because if you're on YouTube and you see one great video of an interview with an artist you love, there's 100 more in the queue of something you might like, and it's never ending. And I find it really fun. It's like such a great thing to keep me interested in.
You like slip into a slipstream kind of, where you're like, you have a queue of like all these things that are related that you're piggybacking on and amplifying the original.
Right.
And you might end up somewhere you didn't even know.
All the time.
Okay, so what are a few of your favorite ones?
A few of my favorite ones.
Or what are the ones that you...
Well, okay, this is really recent. Mm-hmm. On some YouTube channel, I heard about this series on Netflix called La Casa de Papel. And it's a Spanish series also called The Money Heist.
Mm.
And it was it's a series on Netflix, and it's dubbed. And that's something I normally would not want to watch, because I would be distracted by the mouth not matching the words. Mm-hmm. But I got pulled in, and it was really fun. It was really good. But then they made a documentary about filming of the series, and that was even better, because apparently the Spanish actors thought the series bombed, and then Netflix bought the series, and the series did a 180. But wow. Again, it was this group of actors that were so enthused about their project that somehow the universe took over.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rewarded for their love of their craft. I think that's what happened. I don't know, but it was really fun. So that was one of those following these cues, you know, like, oh, she said this might be good. Maybe I'll just look at what this is. Then you find out where that takes you, and it takes you down these roads.
How, if at all, has COVID changed the art making process for you?
Well, I don't know if it's changed the process of making art for me, but I know that I have to be willing and present to be with my artwork. And like any time that's a bit challenging, art allows me to put the world kind of aside and be with what I'm doing. Because thinking about what's going on in the world, unless I'm doing work that pertains to that, is not going to help me express what I need to express. And most of the time, some of these big worldly events, there's nothing I can do about them anyway.
Mm.
So I don't want to spend a lot of energy thinking about that. Unless there's something I can do, then I'll put the energy, like, what can I do? And a lot of times, it's more localized what I can do.
Right. So you're focusing your energy on what's actually possible in the moment, as opposed to what's out there that you have no control over.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I don't know if it's changed the process at all. The only thing I can really think that I'm doing with the animal cards is I'm studying the animals a little bit. But I don't know if that has anything to do with COVID being around.
Right. So it's not necessarily related to it. It's just your current project.
Right.
I mean, I do kind of see, like, last time we talked and you did say it hasn't really affected you much, and I see, like, you working very much in the same way you worked on the airport project.
Right.
You're just going, not lining them up, knocking them down. Just mm-hmm. going
I'm steps. Really disciplined about being in the studio. I'm an organized person. I know that about my character. So I like to have my day sort of laid out a little bit for me. There's always impromptu or improvisation that has to happen, and I'm open to that, and things happen sometimes, and you can't work on what you're wanting to work on, but you have to accept that situation and think, hey, maybe it's going to inform me in some way that I didn't know. So I am disciplined about being in the studio. That's never been a problem for me. I don't think process has changed all that much.
You are very disciplined. So each day, you mentioned in the last conversation, you come into the studio like it's a job. Like, you start at what time normally, would you say? Do you say very?
Maybe that's changed during COVID.
Yes, okay, here we go. Now we're getting
COVID, because I want to be, I want to take care of myself,
right,
for sure. So I have to put that time in, and that's spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever time that takes, and that can vary from 5 minutes to a couple hours. So I start by taking care of myself, and once that's done, I'm in the studio, and I'm looking at what I've done or where I want to go. Sometimes it's just days of prep work, like 50 panels, where it's just prep work. Mm-hmm. But you're always thinking in here. I'm always opening up a book and looking at that. It's definitely not always painting. It would be lovely if that's what it was, but a lot of times there's correspondence, even though it's been a little bit more quiet during COVID, but not terribly.
Interesting. Look, we're talking about cultivating and gathering good energy and abundance. What are some of the methods that you use? Are there any kind of pathways that you find yourself taking to cultivate that?
Absolutely. I think, we talked about it earlier, but I'll go ahead and just kind of start again, is that it's being disciplined and vigilant about how you feel and what you think about, and making the choices to feel good and to look at the blessings or the abundance or the wonder out there, and focusing on the things that make you feel good. If you can do that, then you're going to feel good. Then that energy that is being emitted from your own being is good energy. And that's one way that you can affect the world. In your own little way.
You're broadcasting it.
Absolutely, you're broadcasting it. And there's stuff that's happening in the world and that doesn't feel good. There's stuff that's happening to us personally that doesn't feel good. But that doesn't mean that you have to wallow in it. You can deal with it. You can, when you're ready to deal with it, deal with it with the idea, with some optimism or with some hope that you have the ability to move your thoughts and yourself into a better position, because you have so much power. You have so much opportunity, and you just think big and think about what you want for yourself, because by doing that and making yourself that that thing that you want to be, you're going to be really happy. And your happiness makes other people want to be around you. And if they don't, then maybe that's not the people you want to be around.
That might be a message as well. Right.
It's not even a message. It's just
that you don't want to.
It's the way it is, you know.
It's reality.
Yeah, you can see it as a message, definitely. But the message isn't coming from the outside. The message is coming from you. Because you know so much. And it's just allowing yourself to be receptive or accepting of that information.
And this kind of ties into how you were saying oftentimes you'll start a project on your own and then it's taken up by someone else, or you know, they'll ask you for it at the airport, but you had started out, decided you were going to do this on your own.
It was just something I liked doing, and so you're right. I think it's like, well, this is fun. Mm-hmm. This is really fun. It was these little paintings that gave me this burst of like, ooh, deliciousness. This is fun. Maybe I'll do another one. Why not? I didn't have to show them to anybody. I didn't show them to anybody.
Wow.
You know, I just was making them. And then I kept making them and making them and making them. Then I decided, after I was all done, oh, I'm going to do a monoprint or a print of each one of these. And I did 50 more.
Oh, my.
And I was just doing it.
You were just happy to do it.
I wasn't doing it for anybody or anything. I didn't even know if anybody'd ever see them. Once I was finished, I showed a few people, and then I had a few leads, and they weren't moving me anywhere. But it's kind of amazing how things happen. There's a timing element in things, which you're not aware of. So if you could keep yourself from getting frustrated, why isn't this working, and just let things move, and you keep yourself in that good space, something will work out.
This is Art Focus, and you have been listening to the 7th in a series of pandemic studio visits. My guest today was Renee Zingara. I am Aurora Josephson, and I wish to thank Ava Lake, Joseph Gallivan, Ray Bodwell, and the other staff at KBOO, which helped make this segment a reality. Thank you. We also ask you art lovers out there to consider subscribing to KBOO on our website. We hope you enjoyed the program.
Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol, looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 14 de septiembre del 2021. En medio de la pandemia, las Naciones Unidas advierten que 1 millón de niños afganos podrían morir de hambre sin ayuda internacional inmediata después de que los talibanes completaran su conquista radical de Afganistán el mes pasado. El secretario general de la ONU, Antonio Guterres, habló en una conferencia de donantes de alto nivel de esta organización en Ginebra el lunes. Él dijo: "El pueblo de Afganistán necesita un salvavidas. Después de décadas de guerra, sufrimiento e inseguridad, enfrentan quizás su hora más peligrosa". La conferencia